This is Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 a.m.
Ellie!
Hello, Rodney!
Oh, look, I'm a little bit, you know, having fun because I'm doing it live, and I've done it live before, but now I've got the video going because we found it much better if you can see people.
Yes.
And so I've got a lot going on because I'm sort of doing the Zoom thing and the radio thing, but it's working, right? And I got you.
It is. It is.
Hey, you're looking so well.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I've just been writing to the commissioners, actually, of the phase two inquiry because I got my result back from Brooke Van Velden yesterday, the report, you know, which basically sort of fobbed off my entire petition to the phase two. So I've written to the commissioners with all of my evidence and of the latest evidence, you know, of all of the correspondence, and lots has gone on. TVNZ bit at the OIA that I got that had the number of ED admissions for the under 40s, and then tried to fob their way back from the figures that they gave me because TVNZ came in after them. So all of that correspondence has gone to the commissioners. So I've sent it off this morning, and I got the standard, your public submissions have closed, but I found Grant Illingworth's email, and I have sent him it and said, I think you need to have this, seeing as the minister just gave me this letter yesterday, and you need to have these OIAs, and you need to have my 16 supplementary documents of evidence along with the vaccine injured story. So that's a close now on that petition.
You'll be the best researcher they have at that commission.
Well, I've given them the OIAs and all the references in the OIAs. So, I mean, when it was sort of my closing line on it was basically ACC have paid out 11,400,000 to 1,600 plus recipients who successfully got ACC claims. But then I have Health New Zealand saying that the number of serious injuries other than life-threatening injuries other than death are 20,558. And I said, Grant, their figures just don't stack up. How can you have 20,000 life-threatening injuries but ACC only pay out on 1,600 people? I rest my case.
QED. Now, what's this that you've done on Twitter? Because I follow you.
Yes, you follow me.
That sounds a bit creepy, doesn't it?
It sounds a bit stalky, but hey, that's okay.
Oh, I don't know.
I know you're not.
How do I word that? I follow you on X. That sounds worse. I can't get my way through that. Now, because you've said that it's coming up to a date of 3 years since the mandates came in, and there's a three-year cutoff point for putting in a claim against your former employer or current employer. There's a three-year cutoff date. How does this work?
Okay, so there's a thing called the Employment Relations Authority. Now, normally when you have a dispute with your employer, they say 90 days, within 90 days to put this into ERA. But also there is, under special circumstances, ERA will look at employment issues up to 3 years after the first time that you raised an issue with your employer. So obviously, if you're mandated out of work and you complained about it, then you actually, you know, you actually said to your employer, this is not fair, you know, you're firing me because of the mandates. That time gap is coming up now where it's 3 years, right?
So just tell me this, is this a discretion that the authority has, or is 3 years the hard date? They've got to take it if you
3 years is the hard date according to their website. So you have to submit your complaint about your employer, usually within 90 days, but they will allow up to 3 years. Now, I've put my sons in against his employer.
And it was accepted?
It has been accepted.
Well,
and my excuse was that it took 3 years to see a cardiologist to get a diagnosis, which it has done. It's taken, you know, 2.5 years at least to get the diagnosis. And I didn't want for him to put in the ERA complaint, Employment Relations Authority complaint, until we had a diagnosis. So because ERA has approved a few claims, right? So $30,000 was paid to a Fonterra worker who was made to wear a mask when they had a mask exemption. $57,000 was paid out to an Otago University worker for being mandated because they wouldn't find other employment or other work within her employment to do. And she said she could do it from home, and they said, no, you can't. And so she's just been awarded $57,000. I have yet to see a case go before the ERA where someone's been mandated and injured and paid out. Now, with the ERA, it's not about the injury itself, but it's about whether your employer took the correct steps under your employment contract and under their COVID policy, for example. So I'm saying they didn't take the correct steps with my son to look for other work or use RAT tests or, look for ways to make his run contactless, or, they didn't do any of the above. So therefore, that's the grounds that we're going in on. So I just wanted to alert other people who've been mandated that that period is coming up. Now, for the
Yes.
ones that were government mandated, that was the 15th of November, right? So that's fast approaching now. Now, it doesn't
Yes.
mean that you can't take a legal case in some other way. I just want people to know that that gap is closing on the ERA, because guess what? $71.55 is what it costs to lodge a claim.
It's worth it just to annoy them.
Correct.
Let
So.
me read. I've got it. I've got it. You're quite right. It says this. This is on the Employment Relations Authority webpage. When you can apply, you must raise a personal grievance with your employer within 90 days from the date the personal grievance arose or first came to your attention. So that's okay, because chances are when they mandated you, you wrote them an email saying, I don't agree with this. So that's in the 90 days. And then it says, if you're unable to resolve the problem with your employer or through mediation, you then have 3 years from the date you raised the personal grievance with your employer to lodge the matter with us.
Yes, that's right.
Now, so it's called a personal grievance.
Yes.
And I'm looking online, is it hard to raise a personal grievance?
Well, I've done it, and so it's about 5 pages of document. You put out what your employer said, what you said. Obviously, I attached documents that I felt were evidence. You attach your employment contract. I attached the termination notice for my son, their COVID response policy with my criticisms of how they didn't, follow their own policy. I also put in his diagnosis. It's about 5 pages long, and you just have to sign it and pay
Great.
your $71.55, and it's in the mix.
And I notice on the web page that they actually give you examples and they walk you through it step by step. It's
Yes.
designed for an everyday person like me to do rather than actually have to employ a lawyer or someone fancy.
They've been really helpful. They've been really helpful, and they've accepted it. And now it's going off to his employer for their response. That's the first part.
Now, without, how is your son doing, by the way?
Had a rough day a couple of days ago because he just drove quite a bit. He was really busy because he's milk tanker driving, and he had a bit of a t he ran out of he ran out of his colchicine, which is the drug that he's on that keeps it under control. So he had a bit of a rough day a couple of days ago, but he's picking up. In saying that, I actually wrote off an OIA to Pharmac about their prescriptions for colchicine. And I tell you, it's given for two things in New Zealand. One is gout, and the other is pericarditis. And unless there's been an epidemic of sore toes, the prescriptions of colchicine have gone like that.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's,
Ellie's
yeah. So I
pointing upwards to the sky.
pointing
Skyrocketed.
upwards to the sky, and the number of colchicine. And you see, someone like my son has to take that all the time now to keep his heart under control.
Because of the
So,
vaccine, shall we say?
yes, well, it is. He's actually diagnosed by the cardiologist as vaccine-induced pericarditis. So that bit of evidence I've also given to Grant Illingworth as well. I've also given them the Pharmac OIA, and Pharmac have been so helpful. They're probably not used to being OIA'd, and I never really indicated that it was around the vaccine at all. I just said I was doing
Great.
research. And,
Great.
I just need to know what the prescriptions look like.
What was the nature of the personal grievance you placed for your son?
That he was basically mandated out of his work, that they didn't give
His
an
previous job.
alternative. So he was mandated, and also that they actually, his termination notice was 2 weeks after he was in an ambulance out of their truck.
Jeepers.
So, I pointed that out as well, and pointed out the part of their COVID policy that shows that they would take into account medical, any medical things. Well, they never allowed him to actually even go and apply to Ashley Bloomfield for a exemption. It was if he wasn't vaccinated by this date, the second vaccine, then he was jobless. So they terminated him 3 weeks after three hospital visits and an ambulance ride out of their truck, and they never mentioned it in his termination notice that he'd been injured and that he'd been in that ambulance. So
It's worth the $70 and the bit of effort
sure is.
just to have them have to go back over and explain this stuff in the cold, hard light of day with
True.
all the hysteria now removed.
Yes. And the thing is, when you look at
Everyone should be
probably
doing
every
this.
person that did get vaccinated there did catch it and spread it to other people. So it's
Yeah.
like, what was the point of firing him? And you've left him permanently damaged.
Yeah.
And we're still fighting ACC, by the way, even with a diagnosis, we're still waiting for the Independent Complaints
So your
Review Authority.
son took the jab, but was still mandated out of his job. Hadn't they? I'm
Yes,
trying to get the
after,
sequence.
yeah, so shot one, he took shot one under duress, and then he didn't have shot two, and he said,
Okay.
I'm not going to get shot two because shot one's injured me. And they said, well, can I provide an exemption? And they said, no.
Got it. Oh no.
And
That's.
then they didn't, yeah, and then they fired him for not having the second shot. So he got shot one, got injured, and then got fired anyway.
Jeepers.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people that I deal with, through the vaccine injury kind of thing that are in the
Well,
same.
every person that was mandated should be putting an application into the Employment Relations Authority. Every person.
Absolutely.
And every
Absolutely.
person who took the jab under duress should be putting one in.
Yeah. Absolutely. Anybody, if you at the time, all you've got to do is prove that you
It's,
raised a grievance.
yes,
So
it could be just,
an email to say, hey, I don't agree what you're doing with me. I've been a good worker, like I
So
shouldn't have to be fired or whatever
you could be a school teacher. And they said, you've got to get the jab. And you say, look, I don't want to have the jab. Is there any other way through this? And they say, no, you've got to have the jab. You get the jab. You don't have any injuries that we know of. You can still take that as a grievance.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you should.
Yeah, because you were forced to take a medical treatment to
Yes.
keep your job.
Yes.
And the whole thing, you're not supposed to be coerced. Choices without coercion, and people's informed consent was taken away. So anybody can complain, can lodge an application with the Employment Relations Authority within 3 years of raising their complaint with their employer.
Now, what are you feeling hopeful over the second commission of inquiry?
I'm not sure whether I am really. I've seen Health New Zealand and ACC obfuscating so much in their replies, and I did see Brooke van Velden the other day in Parliament actually mention the mandates. First time anybody has actually said that. I don't know whether you saw her reply in Parliament.
No.
Oh, I'll send it to you, Rodney. It was outstanding.
Oh, really? Tell me.
Oh yeah. So in fact, you guys should actually play that as a soundbite on RCR. She basically she was asked by one of the Labor MPs, is this government not the worst government for workers? And Brooke van Velden replied and said, no, the worst government for workers was last government. And she went on to say some pretty poignant things about people's rights being taken away as workers, people's bodily autonomy. She actually mentioned that word,
Wow.
which I thought was, yeah, which I thought was really strong for an ACT party member. Bodily autonomy, and yeah, so you know, and that the mandates were a breach of rights. So you know, she really delivered it in that. In that Parliament speech, and
Oh,
I
wow.
thought, well, it was answer. It was question time. It was an answer. So yeah, so that was amazing. And because I did actually, you knew I went to an ACT meeting, eh? And I got David in
I
Pundam.
do. Tell me again, because
Yeah.
that's important.
So when Sue Gray and I managed to get in there through actually me being with an ACT Party financial contributor, I managed to get in the door because they were actually stopping anyone getting in the door. Sue came in to ask questions about fluoride. I came in to ask questions about the vaccine. But he did actually, when he listened to my story, he did say something along the lines of, it sounds like your son has been through a litany of errors, and I'm sorry that he's suffered that as a consequence of the vaccine. So that's the first time I've sort of heard an apology out of anybody, even though it's sort of veiled, but it's still, I mean, how could he not say there'd been a litany of errors? I mean, they three hospitals lost my son's ECGs and blood tests, and a fourth hospital lost his reference, his referral to a cardiologist. So it's like, you know, it's more than just errors. It's like four different hospitals making errors on the same person.
I'm just looking up because I have a little stink on Brooke. I don't know her. I've never met her. And I'm just trying to find it for you
It
because.
made me think that maybe, you know, because I got the minister's the answer. She was the minister that answered my petition, and I thought maybe she actually did look at my 16 supplementary documents, and maybe she did think about the unfairness of it all, because I've never
Yeah.
seen her say
No,
anything
that's
like that
amazing. That is
ever.
amazing.
Like, so that was good. I mean, I do know that at the time of the mandates, they did sort of speak out a little bit, but not strongly enough. And they weren't the government at the time, and they all signed off on the don't come downstairs and talk to the protesters. So, you know, to me, that was all 120 of them sticking together like glue.
Look, I'm pleased Brooke is doing that, and I'm pleased that she said that. That is a wonderful update. So you're thinking, oh, maybe this will work. No, the one I've just got it here. She's put out a wee, what do you call a wee picture meme? And it's got two ladies with a baby. And she says, better options for same-sex parents. We're giving parents more choice on parent titles on their child's birth certificate. So you can have two or three dads and no mum on the birth certificate. And I feel a bit yucky about that. But
So
anyway,
that's
we'll park.
not so good when the kid wants to look up their genealogy later on when they're an adult, eh?
Well, you say a little 10-year-old says, Dads, who's my mum? And they
Well,
say,
there's
you
health
don't.
issues. There's
You
health
don't.
issues.
Oh,
You can't
anyway,
know if you
let's
can't
not.
know, yeah, you know, I mean, you can't know if you've got heart disease or kidney disease in your family. There's real health issues to know who your blood relatives are. Yeah.
It's so funny. But you're feeling positive about the Royal Commission too, and I am too, because if you're getting that material in front of them, they can't ignore it.
Yeah. And that's what we've just got to keep
Are
doing
they
is,
going to have
yeah, keep doing
you
it.
appear in front of that commission?
Don't know. I don't know whether they're going to have
They've
appearance
got
in
to.
front of the commission
They've
in
got
March.
to. That'd be the
Yeah.
best part where you
Yeah, I
got
hope they
through.
do that for the vaccine injured. I really hope that they do give some sort of way to for people to speak out to the commissioners.
Dave's got the Brooke clip for us to play.
Oh,
Play it,
let's
Dave.
have a
Does
listen.
she agree that this is the most anti-worker government that we've seen in decades?
Honourable Brooke Van Velden.
Mr. Speaker, no, I don't agree with that statement because I believe, in fact, the most anti-worker government we've seen in decades is the previous government. It was the previous government that ordered vaccine mandates for workers. Never before have we seen the rights of workers across this country be eroded so swiftly. Not only did this erode workers' freedom of choice and bodily autonomy, so many people were forced out of their jobs because the government refused to look at other options like RAT tests. Rather than listen to those affected workers, the previous government pushed them to the margins of society, the previous government's legislative overreach led to ostracism and division that have hugely impacted our civil society and had a negative impact on the employment and earnings of Kiwi individuals. Good. This government is delivering for all workers, including the over 85% who are not union members.
Oh, I love her. She can put anything she likes on my birth certificate. I don't mind. I can have six dads now. To hear that in our parliament. Oh,
and did you hear those left-wing little toads heckling in the background? Mm. Disrespectful, uncaring individuals is what those people are on the left-hand side of that parliament. They are without conscience. They are without empathy. I just find it really hard to cope with that, how lacking in empathy they are to the thousands of injured people. I mean, they've admitted there's 20,000 seriously injured New Zealanders, and yet they heckle? They think that's perfectly okay?
I'm going to put that clip on replay driving home, and it's half an hour. And I'm going to listen to it all the way. I never, ever thought I would see the day that a minister of the Crown would be saying that in our parliament, finally. No. I mean, that's a big shift.
Yeah, it is a big shift. And I know, you know, I think with the phase two inquiry, she's had the people coming through around that. And I think maybe that's influenced her just a little bit to realise what a serious wrong it was. And I do know, like, if you look at the River of Freedom film, there is a clip there of David Seymour speaking out against the mandates at the time, saying that he didn't think it was right that they were breaching the Bill of Rights, you know, that it was a breach of the Bill of Rights. So he did actually sort of speak out at the time. But yeah, it's a bit of a thing. Just on a side note, I was just going to bring up that I'm speaking in Nelson at the roadshow. The Safe and Effective Roadshow. So I'm going up to do my 10 minutes on that. It's coming to Queenstown, so it's coming near you, Rodney, as well.
I can do a wee clip for it. Safe and Effective Roadshow, it's happening between the 9th and the 15th of November in Dunedin, Queenstown, Nelson and Wellington. I'm going to the Queenstown one. Ellie, are you coming?
Oh, no, I won't see you. I'm only going to the Nelson one. Okay. I'll be up in the North Island singing. So.
And you can see the webpage, www.roadshow24.nz. It's going to be great. They've got great speakers.
Yeah, it's going to be a good thing. And it's going to be, I think, if you're vaccine injured or if you know somebody that's vaccine injured, that'll be great to bring people along to that. And, you know, it'll be a good support network. And, I mean, it's kind of like you learn as you go. I did an interview the other day around it and just said, you know, they said, well, what have I got to offer with the experiences? And it's just knowing those things. Like when we did find my son's ECG, it was knowing that to look or to ask your cardiologist to look at your ECG and see if you've got ST elevation and PR depression consistent with pericarditis and myocarditis. Well, I wouldn't have known that before, but the research has led us to know that. To understand that not everybody has a positive troponin blood test that has pericarditis, but most people have a signal in their ECGs that when a trained eye looks at it, they pick it up. The interesting thing is it was there when we found those hospital records, one in an off-site storage facility in Christchurch, not up digitally for anyone to see. We found it there. And the ambulance one, which seemed to be in a different heart, they both showed that my son had pericarditis straight after the vaccine and the next day, yet those emergency department physicians missed it completely, missed the signal within the ECGs.
Someone just texted in, Ali, what can you do if you didn't know you could tell your employee that you could say you didn't agree with being dismissed? This is the first time I've heard we could try and claim for dismissal.
Yeah, so you would have had to have lodged some disagreement with being fired. Surely most people said something.
Yeah, even if you said, I'm not happy about this, that would be enough, right?
Yeah, you would say, on, when we got told about the mandates, I said, this is not fair. This is, a breach of
And it
your
doesn't
confidentiality letter.
necessarily have to be in writing. I would
No,
do
I
it.
just,
I would do it.
$71.55, put it in and just say,
Put it
I
in.
told my employer I didn't want to be fired and,
I wanted to stay. I agree.
I wanted to stay. And I'd been a good worker for 10 years or whatever. There was no reason to fire me, like,
Yeah.
so I think it's worth a shot.
Absolutely. And you say, look, I didn't think I had a thing about a personal grievance because that was it. They were just firing people left, right, and centre through New Zealand.
Yeah, well, some people
What a
would have done verbal.
terrible.
It doesn't say that it has to be a written
No,
grievance. A
no, no,
verbal
no.
grievance is perfectly fine. You just have to pick a date that you actually said it and when you said it and who you said it to. I think, yeah, most people probably would have said something to their employer,
Isn't it
particularly
funny
if you've
how
worked
the,
there a
isn't
long
it
time.
funny, isn't it funny how things change?
Yes.
The mood changes. Like you can now talk about it, you seem. And I think RFK Jr. coming onto the scene so powerfully, first as a presidential candidate, then supporting Donald Trump, and then hopefully becoming Secretary of Health or something.
Heaven help the FDA and the CDC.
Heaven help them.
And it will be like the flick of the domino. Like
Yeah.
if RFK Jr. gets in there, he'll flick the domino from the top and it will come all the way down and it will reach us eventually. Because at the end of
Yes.
the day, the buck stops at the CDC and the
Yes.
FDA for the world. Like
And
we take our lead from them.
he knows it.
Yeah.
I always thought he was a bit of a conspiracy theorist.
No, I've followed his work for years, Rodney. And I mean,
Oh
really,
my, I feel
I
so
mean,
embarrassed because when all
yeah.
this happened and I got his book, some kind listener sent me his book, and man, he knows this stuff. He is their worst nightmare. Big pharma, big ag.
Yeah.
He's all in, right?
Yeah, so
He's
he's
not
a
going to go
very,
half-assed.
the thing is that he's been standing up for children with vaccine injury for years. So I followed him because I was also on that train. So people say, oh, it's been a tough 3 years. I go, no, it's been a tough 30. We watched this. And the thing that was always said amongst people that actually stood by the things that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was saying, it was always said that one day there would be a vaccine that would come along for adults and watch everyone scream then when they're not just lining up their baby. And that day has come. And the thing is, it's like they trained the public to accept that vaccines were holier than thou. You could never criticize childhood vaccines. And there were children, and I knew some children that were adversely affected by a couple of different vaccines. And so I was really aware of it.
Yes.
And it's not like I laugh now. It's like now with the whole COVID-19 vaccine DNA contamination. Oh, SV40 simian virus. Well, I knew about that 30 years ago because the polio vaccines in the 60s had it in. So a lot of people were got polio vaccines that are actually our age, Rodney. In the 60s, we were given them and they had SV40 simian virus in them, which was a monkey virus that they'd used to grow the vaccine on the livers of, and it got into people. And then today they find it inside Hodgkinson's non-lymphomas and brain cancers in people at our age.
Oh
So
my
like,
God.
people are going, oh, the vaccines are contaminated. I'm like, no, your vaccines were contaminated for the last 30 years. You're just waking up to it now. So, and if you go to Wikipedia, you'll find it documents clearly that the polio vaccines were contaminated. Go look it up. SV40 simian virus, been going on for 30 years. But people, because I recall once a child that was here in New Zealand that had his 16th birthday and he was a DPT damaged child, so totally, mentally disabled from
What's
what,
DPT?
diphtheria. Tetanus, pertussis, I think it
Oh,
is.
okay, a
Yeah, so
vaccine,
it's
yeah.
a triple vaccine. And he turned up toes when he was a kid and just survived, and he was in a wheelchair and unable to communicate and everything. And he had his birthday. 2020 came to film in New Zealand, to film his birthday, how he'd, you know, he'd survived and come through to here. They got right to the screening date, and then his mother came back to the Immunisation Awareness Society, which at the time was for people, you know, questioning childhood vaccines. And she said, they're going to pull the story. And I went, what do you mean they're going to pull the story? And she said, oh, they said, and this is what they said, quote, the Ministry of Health told us that the story can't go to air because it will seriously affect everybody getting vaccinated, vaccinating their children. They didn't want him on the television set. Back then, this was before my children were born, so we're talking 30 years ago, they didn't want him on the television set because it was going to influence other people not to vaccine. And this is exactly the same as what's happening now. They just did it then, and they built everyone's trust up in the word vaccine. Vaccines holier than thou, can't criticise vaccines, da-da-da-da-da. And then they shoved a gene therapy onto us and called it a vaccine. So everyone would go, oh, it's a vaccine, it's just like safe, just like the other
it
ones.
It must well, the have other been ones, so tough for you because you knew this. It's like RFK. And now we're
well,
all climbing
on board.
It's
been good because we have all that previous information, right? Like I just reeled off to you about the SV40. Yeah. Everyone's going, oh, there's DNA contamination. Well, guess what? You've all had the polio vaccine and it's in there too.
Ooh,
and they find it in cancers, but they don't publicise that. And the thing is that people had this big trust of the word vaccine, you know, so it was easy for them to push this across. Mm. Now, of course, childhood vaccines had nowhere near the amount of reactions that this has had. But they got away with it. They got away with it with kids.
No more.
They did it with Dr. Andrew Wakefield when he was just an innocent, you know, gastroenterologist at London Royal Free Hospital. And he started saying all these kids come in his clinic for gastro issues that were autistic. And he thought, this is strange. And so he looks into it. He finds that they've got measles virus in their spinocerebellum fluid and in their gut. And whoa, he's like, they jump on him and they deregister him and they do everything that they've done to doctors now. They did it to him. Everybody let them do it to him. Everybody, you know, said he was this anti-vaxxing terrible doctor that was stopping people getting the MMR because he discovered something and went, well, is it such a good idea? We're actually putting it, you know, we're doing this. And as soon as he did that and he got his thing published in The Lancet, his paper published in The Lancet withdrew it. They basically did the same thing to him that they're now doing to any doctor, scientist or anything else that speaks out because they got away with it. They got away with doing that to that doctor. Now they've done it to thousands of doctors around the world.
There you go, listeners. We're blessed with Ali. Goodness me, you're a force of nature. Now, here's the key takeout. We've got the Safe and Effective Roadshow happening between the 9th and the 15th of November in Dunedin, Queenstown, Nelson and Wellington. Go to it, www.roadshow24.nz. And if you took the jab against your will because of the mandates, if you got dismissed for any reason because you wouldn't take the jab, now's your chance. You can force your employer to justify their decision. Go to the Employment Relations Authority, fill out a form, pay $71. You're going to get thousands of dollars worth of joy back as your employer has to go through and explain what they did to you and your fellow workers and all New Zealanders. Ali, good luck with your talk.
Thank you so much. And put it in, everybody. Do it. Do that thing. Let's flood them with lodgements.
And give our best to your son.
Thank you so much. He's probably listening in his truck right now while he's driving.
Oh, great. Yeah. Has he got a Road Ranger in the truck? I want to know all the details about his truck.
He does. He's got brand spanking new Kenworth, and he's driving the milk at the moment. He's taking big 60-ton tankers of milk between Church and Nelson. Yeah.
That's a big drive.
It is a big drive. He does it at return every day.
To Nelson and Christchurch and back again.
Yep.
How long's
that's what
that?
that's what
How
they
long's
do.
that? How long's that take them?
I suppose 5 hours in each direction and a bit of loading time. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's the
That,
normal thing.
and so he comes back empty.
He goes empty and he picks up from Brightwater just outside of
Okay.
Nelson and he takes that down to Darfield. Yep. So that, but they run it all around the country. So they run milk, you know, if the Fonterra trucks go out to the farms and get all the milk and bring it into big storage areas. And then they might move that milk over there because it's making milk powder or that
60
one to make
tons.
another product. And yeah, it's a really
And he
busy
goes
time.
through the Lewis Pass.
He does. And
Have you been on a ride with him?
Oh, absolutely. I've done the Lewis
How much
Pass with him.
fun.
I love going in the big trucks and going. I've done the whole North Island with him and I've done south and back. Yeah, he actually came across an accident and rescued a couple of old people down a bank the other day, bless him. So he strapped their car to a tree and climbed 20 meters down a bank and carried this old man on his back up to the top. Actually, the
Gee.
other guy died in the accident. He looked after the
Oh.
two old people down the bank.
Oh.
Yeah, that was just a few weeks ago. So they come across all sorts of stuff. Sometimes they get stuck with he got stuck the other day and had to go all the long way round, right round the East Coast because
Yes.
the Lewis was closed. So it's always an adventure. Every day is different for him, I'm sure.
I hope he's listening. You take care, Ellie. Be in touch.
Okay, mate,
Thank
take
you for
care.
coming
Lovely
on.
speaking. Bye
Bye-bye.
bye.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.